Thank you for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. On today's show, it's Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about what we should be thankful for with regards to the Yankees. Clint Frazier and Rougned Odor were released. Tyler Wade says goodbye. Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge make the All-MLB team.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. It's Thursday, November 25th. It's Thanksgiving. I just finished eating dinner and dessert. So if I pass out in the middle of doing this, that's why. I'm high on tryptophan. That stuff makes you sleepy. Although I will say I didn't eat that much turkey. Ate more of the sides, and I'm usually that type of a Thanksgiving eater. I don't know about everyone else, but I am more of a stuffings, mashed potato, corn person than I am turkey. But what we do is we take the leftovers and make a casserole out of it, so we have that for the next day and possibly the day after that. And oh, it's good. If you've never done that before, layer the turkey, then the stuffing, then the corn, then the mashed potatoes on top. It is like a Thanksgiving shepherd's pie almost. It's fantastic. Highly recommend it. So it's Thanksgiving. Before I get into everything that I wanted to talk about on today's show, you can listen to us in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. My mouth is not working because, again, I'm sleepy from the tryptophan. Should be a fun show. Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher. You can subscribe on YouTube if you're looking at my face. I apologize. And if you have a smart device, which we have a few of them in this house, and I don't like to say their names because anytime I do, even if it's an accident and I say play podcast Locked On Yankees, they do it. It works. So the Yankees designated Clint Frazier and Rougned Odor for assignment, and then they made it through waivers and no one picked them up. So they're both available in case you want them. I'm bummed about Clint Frazier. I spoke about this with Abby the other day, and I've talked about him a bunch of times on this podcast. I joked on the show with Abby the other day that I spoke about Clint Frazier 31 times leading into that podcast. Then that podcast made it 32 episodes in which I mentioned him, and now it's 33. So here we go. Episode number 33 of Locked On Yankees, in which I talk about Clint Frazier. But yeah, I'm bummed. I'm bummed about this. I really thought that he was turning a corner in 2020 when he got the chance to play. You know, the offseason between 2020 and 2021, he's given the starting job in the outfield by Aaron Boone. He basically says it going into spring training that it's his job to lose. And then he lost it. And again, I hope that whatever he's dealing with, head injury-wise, clears up. And as Abby says, a lot of times concussion symptoms will stay with you, and the recovery isn't a linear thing. It's kind of unpredictable. So it doesn't matter how long ago that injury occurred, he could be seeing symptoms and experiencing problems for years to come. And that would just be a really big bummer because Clint Frazier really had the chance to be a really good player in baseball. He still does. And I hope another team takes a flyer on him, but it's not that great a sign that he made it through waivers. So we'll see what happens. You know, a flurry of moves will be made before next week's, I guess, deadline of doom. The CBA expires, and, you know, I keep joking that we're going to have to change the name of this show to Locked Out Yankees. We're not obviously going to do that, but we might have to do that. So, yeah, that's just a big bummer, and I feel bad for Clint Frazier. And, you know, I mean, I feel bad for Rougned Odor, too, obviously, because it's not fun being DFA'd and then released and, you know, not picked up by anyone. Obviously, I don't know what that's like because I've never had that sort of thing happen. Thank God they don't do that with writers. Could you imagine? I would have been in big trouble if, Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. A certain website did kind of release me, and yeah, I haven't really written anything since. So, oh, that's not a good sign for Clint Frazier and Ruggie Odor. Guys, I'm sorry. That's just, what a bummer for you. But let's just go through some of the numbers. And oh, I do want to say someone, which account was it now? I can't remember because it was a couple days ago, but they posted a walk-off by Frazier from 2017 when the Yankees were playing the Brewers. And I remember that homestand, and I remember that series because it was when A-Rod and J-Lo first really got hot and heavy and they were being seen in public and stuff. And they were at the stadium. I think A-Rod was recording an interview with Aaron Judge, and J-Lo was at the stadium, and J-Lo met up with some of the Brewers. And I just remember that Corey Knebel was just trying his hardest to vibe with J-Lo. And it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. I can't remember if Fox showed it or MLB Network showed it, but he was really trying to be like play it cool with J-Lo. And I thought that was the funniest thing ever. That, I mean, not that Corey, you know, Corey Knebel is, he was known in 2017, but it's not like he's, you know, Giancarlo Stanton or something like that, you know? And that just cracked me up. I thought that was so funny. So when I saw that walk-off, at first I wasn't sure what year it was. I couldn't remember if it was 2017 or 2018. Then I saw Jacoby Ellsbury celebrating the walk-off and realized, oh, yeah, it's 2017. Wow. Uh-huh. So that's how you know. If you see Jacoby Ellsbury in the background of anything, or Matt Holliday. Remember those days? Yeah, 2017. What a bummer of a year, huh? What a bummer of a year. Just the way it ended, obviously. I mean, making it to the seventh game of the ALCS was wonderful, and no one expected the Yankees to do that. But for Holliday to go down with that virus thing that he had, and, you know, especially after that crazy game against Baltimore, that they were losing, can't remember exactly what they were losing, but they ended up tying the game at like 11-11. Starlin Castro hit a home run. Jacoby Ellsbury hit his 100th home run, and it was actually a grand slam. And then Holliday hit the walk-off, and it was a three-run home run. Do you remember that crazy game? Yeah, so 2017, what a crazy year. So that walk-off reminded me of a lot of things, and it reminded me of the promise of Clint Frazier and what could have been. And just, what a bummer. I'm so bummed. Anyway, I really hope he takes off somewhere. Hopefully not, you know, not the Jays, not the Red Sox, not the Rays. Although you never know, you could see a team like the Rays take a flyer on Clint Frazier. But I really don't want him to be in the same division as the Yankees and torture them. I said it the other day, and I said it before on shows around the trade deadline, I believe this year and last year, joking about Clint Frazier being traded to someone and then just wreaking havoc on the Yankees for the rest of his career. So I don't want that to happen. So if an NL team can pick up Clint Frazier and we could see him be successful there, that would be great. But I wish nothing but the best for Clint Frazier, really. I'm just super bummed out about this. I want to thank you once again for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. But if, you know, if we're not your first listen today, I understand why. I'm recording this late. And I apologize for there not being a show yesterday, having technical difficulties. So I might be doing a show either on Saturday or Sunday, depending on how things go. And then Monday's the last day of the month. Tuesday is December 1st, the last day of the CBA. And then we'll see if all hell breaks loose. So that should be interesting. But other Yankee news that we can talk about. I mentioned that Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge made the MLB team. MLB. Major League Baseball is the sport that I cover. The Yankees are the team that I talk about. Okay, just needed to tell my brain that. So they made the first team because there's a few teams. And the selections were announced on Tuesday on MLB Network, and they were determined by a fan vote and a panel consisting of media members, former players, and baseball officials. So, how exciting. So, Aaron Judge was joined by Bryce Harper and Juan Soto of the Nationals in the first team outfield, so good for him. Now, Judge, in case you don't remember, because, you know, the season ended how long ago for the Yankees? Batted 287, 373, 544 with 39 home runs, 98 runs batted in 148 games. Aaron Judge played in 148 games. And if it weren't for COVID, it would have been more. So he set a career high with 158 wins. He tied his career high with 24 doubles. He had an OPS of 916, which ranked him ninth in the majors, fourth in the AL. So that's pretty cool. Now, Cole finished second in the Cy Young Award voting, which we all know. He posted a 16-8 record with two complete games and a 3.23 ERA. If it wasn't for that damn hamstring, he would have been better. If he wouldn't have had the hamstring injury, he probably wouldn't have lost the wild card game. Actually, the Yankees might not have needed to play in the wild card game if it wasn't for, or they would have hosted the wild card game if it wasn't for that damn hamstring. So Cole made the first team rotation with Walker Buehler of the Dodgers, Corbin Burns of the Brewers, Robbie Ray, who won the Cy Young for the AL, and Max Scherzer. So pretty good company for those guys making the all MLB team. See, I did it. Yay. What else is going on? There's not a lot going on. You know, it's a holiday weekend. You know, Yankee-wise, there's not a lot going on. Steven Matz signed with the Cardinals and pissed off his agent pissed off Steve Cohen in the process, because there can never be a week without Mets drama. And I know I'm not a Mets podcast, but I am a New York podcast, and it's just funny to see the stuff happening over there. I shouldn't laugh too much because, you know, the Yankees went from this is the year of the shortstop to, oh, well, we might do a stopgap thing and might not sign a free agent. There's still time for them to do so, but it doesn't look too good, Yankee fans. I'm worried. I'm worried that everything Brian Cashman said a few weeks ago is a lie. What he said about, oh yeah, you know, I was given permission, I can spend, and don't worry about anything, and we're going to go out and look for people. Something happened. Something changed their minds, and I don't know what it is, and I can't figure out what they think they're doing. Now, I do understand that there are a couple of prospects who could fill the shortstop position, but not yet. And I think you go big or go home if you're the Yankees and you have four good options. Obviously, I would prefer Carlos Correa. I know a lot of Yankee fans are not happy with Carlos Correa because he said something about Derek Jeter, but I mentioned on the show that what he said about Derek Jeter is actually true. I know Yankee fans don't like when other people bash Derek Jeter and his horrible defense, but his defense was horrible. And he only started winning those gold gloves when A-Rod was traded to the Yankees. Go look at his baseball reference page. When did Derek Jeter win his first gold glove? I'll wait. Go look. How's everyone doing today? Is everyone good? Yeah. Okay. Go to baseball reference. Open it up. Scroll down to 2004. It's the first time you see GG along with all the stats. When was Alex Rodriguez traded to the Yankees? That's right. Yep. So Carlos Correa wasn't far off. Now, Jeter, for his part, of course, people were asking him about it, and he was just like, I have nothing to say. What's he going to say? Like, he can't really say, like, he can't really defend himself, because I think Jeter knows that his defense wasn't great. He has to know. Although, then again, he basically made the Yankees play him in the field until his last game. So, you know, he never DH'd really. So yeah, you know what? Maybe he didn't know that he wasn't good at defense. And I get it. You want to have confidence when you're playing baseball, but I don't know. You don't want to be delusional also. Remember when everyone made the big deal about A-Rod going to third base, and a lot of the smart baseball people were talking about how Jeter should make the move to third base, that A-Rod was the much better shortstop defensively. Yeah, that was a thing. 17, almost 18. Oh, it's going to be 18 years since that trade, February 2004, because we're heading into 2022. It's a long-ass time ago, people. Yeah, A-Rod was the better shortstop defensively, and people don't give him enough credit for going over to third base, saying, I'll come to the Yankees, I'll move to third base. I know Derek is the sheriff of the field and that he needs to play shortstop, but everyone around baseball was like, A-Rod's the better shortstop. And I know some Yankee people probably thought the same thing, but they knew Derek Jeter would never, ever move from shortstop. And I don't mean to bash Jeter. I love Jeter. Grew up with him. I did a whole show about him when he made the Hall of Fame. But it's okay to talk about the fact that he wasn't great at everything. He wasn't. Okay? Thank you. So don't be so hard on Carlos Correa. I mean, should he have said anything? Probably not, but he did, and he was right. And he would be an amazing shortstop at Yankee Stadium. Plus, he's only 27, right? He's a baby. He still is really entering the prime of his career. And could you imagine him entering the prime of his career as a Yankee? Picture it, people. It could be amazing. And Corey Seager's not bad, but he's not that great defensively. The Yankees need people who can hit and play the field, not just hit. I know everyone talks about the offense last year, how it was off, and it was. But I feel as if they need to get better defensively. They need to save runs on the defensive end. And then, you know, if the offense has an off day, it's okay because the defense won't let up and won't give up any runs or will keep the run giving up the... Wait, okay, that's not going to work. The run giving upping? That's not even a phrase. That's not a word. It's not a phrase, but you know what I mean. They can keep that as at a minimum, and the offense could score like two runs and win or something to that effect. Marcus Semien, who knows? I think the word around baseball about Semien is that he's asking for too much money. I mean, he had a hell of a year. But I believe he's on the older side. And I think teams are a little wary because as good as he was this year, will he be good again next year? Correa kind of has the track record and, again, only 27, so he could get better. Then you have Trevor Story, who was always kind of linked to the Yankees. Not quite, but that was one of those... He's one of those guys that you thought was going to be moved at the trade deadline, and then the Rockies did absolutely nothing, much to the chagrin of Yankee fans. Yankee fans, no. Rockies fans. And our Rockies host, Paul. I don't know if you all saw the trade deadline show that Locked On MLB did, but it was Sully from Locked On MLB, Jeff from Locked On Reds, Paul was on there. Jeff from Locked On Dodgers was on there. I believe Javi was on there from the Padres show. A bunch of people were on that show. AJ from Locked On Blue Jays was on. And poor Paul. He just was beside himself. Aside from the Rockies not doing anything, it was, you know, the Dodgers made the move for Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. And Paul just, he could barely speak. It was something. So anyway, Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. And I hope everyone had a lovely day and evening. I hope you stuffed yourselves with good food. And we're going to talk about what we need to be thankful for. So I got a couple of tweets from listeners / viewers. I was actually excited because most of the time I put out tweets asking people to do something and they don't. So I was very happy that someone actually answered. So I basically said, reply to this tweet with what Yankee things you're thankful for in 2021, and we'll mention them on the show. So Ryan Beck Music on Twitter said, I'm thankful for John Sterling when a pop-up at Tropicana Field got stuck in the roof and never came down. He said, what a stupid place. I don't hear a lie in that statement at all. I know that John Sterling cannot stand Tropicana Field. Susan Waldman can't stand Tropicana Field because it always seems like something weird happens in that place, whether a ball hits a catwalk, the ball hits a speaker, and they don't know what the hell to call it. You know, the lights go out, there's a leak, there's a this, there's a that, and I just think that's great. I love that. I'm glad that John Sterling doesn't like Tropicana Field as much as I don't like Tropicana Field. If you've listened to the show long enough, if you've followed me on Twitter long enough, if you're watching on YouTube, my Twitter handle is right in front of your face. If you're listening, it's Stacegots, S-T-A-C-E-G-O-T-S. I call it the slop. I do not like that place. I've never been, but everything I've seen of it in the past, how many years that they've been playing there, I cannot stand it. Cannot wait for them to get out of there. As we spoke about on the show, when was it? A few days ago? Or maybe last week, me and Abby, we were talking about stadiums. And Tropicana Field is in St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg is a pain in the butt to get to for natives of Tampa. It's at the end of the peninsula, around the Gulf of Tampa. Is that what it is? I think that's what it is, right? And then the Gulf of Mexico is on the other side. Or Tampa Bay's in the middle. Is that what it is? Anyway, whatever that is, it takes a long time to get to Tropicana Field. It's a pain in the ass to get to Tropicana Field because it's not even in Tampa. That's why no one's there. It's not that they don't like seeing their team. It's just a pain in the ass to get to. Because if anything, this past season, when they started letting people back into stadiums, Tampa should have had the best attendance, and they don't. Because of where the stadium is. And that's a bummer because, you know, you have a good team to watch. What are you doing? But I understand. You don't want, it's not like they have public transportation to take them to the stadium. It's way the hell down the peninsula, a pain in the butt to get to. And, you know, it might be easier for people in Montreal to get to a stadium and watch them up there. So we'll see what happens there. And then my second thing to be thankful for, and I said this on the show the other day, and I agree, and you all should be thankful for this, from Ken Sheck. A full year of Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. And I mentioned in the previous segment that Judge played in 148 games. Now, I'm going to look up Stanton because I don't know the exact number and I want to get this right. But no one expected that. No one. I don't care who they are. No one expected those guys to play in as many games as they did in this season. Let's see, 139 for Stanton. So 139 and 148. And my bold prediction this year before the season started was that they would play in at least 40 games together. They surpassed that by a lot. And they both had solid seasons. I mentioned Judge's numbers earlier. Stanton batted 273, 354, 516. Thank you. With 35 home runs, 97 runs batted in. So he was right behind Judge in that stat by one and only four behind him in home runs in nine fewer games. So good for him, staying healthy, both of them. I know I joked at the beginning of the season, if you listen to the show, you know that I said that if we saw Stanton in the field, something horribly wrong must have happened to the Yankees. But it turns out, hey, he does better when he plays in the field. Who knew? And who knew that the horrible thing would happen to Aaron Hicks and Clint Frazier instead of Giancarlo Stanton. And I'm hoping that in 2022, if there's a 2022 and if everything starts on time, that we get to see the big boy outfield of Gallo, Judge, and Stanton. But the Yankees do need someone to play center field full time. Now, Hicks is down in the DR playing in the winter leagues. And as far as I know, he's okay. I saw a highlight of him last night and joked, as long as he doesn't get hurt, I don't care what he does. Really, he could strike out 500 times in the winter league. As long as he doesn't hurt, it was his wrist that he hurt this time, right? So, yeah. It'll be interesting to see how he does and if he can be healthy, because that's a big question mark. But as I just mentioned, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton were healthy for most of this season. So maybe it could happen for Aaron Hicks. Why can't I speak? In Okay, let's try that again. Maybe it can happen for Aaron Hicks in 2022. That's what I wanted to say. What am I thankful for? I'm thankful I got to two games, even though they were horrible. I was just happy to be able to be at Yankee Stadium after the craziness of COVID. Well, I mean, COVID is still happening, okay? It's not over. But, you know, it felt good to be vaccinated and be able to go and, you know, I wore my mask in places. And felt good to be at the stadium. The two games I went to were not great. As I've mentioned plenty of times, I was at the game against the Angels when Chapman gave up the grand slam in the ninth inning. And that was after they chased Shohei Ohtani in the first inning. They went down 2-0 in the top of the first. Domingo Germán was pitching. And then they scored 7 on Shohei Ohtani. Chased him out of the game. And I thought, wow, this is the best return to Yankee Stadium anyone can ever have. It was my first game in nearly 2 years. And then Chapman happened. Then I went to a game in, was it August? Why don't I don't even remember now. It was against Seattle. They lost 2-0. And Luis Gil was pitching, and he had a bit of a rough first inning. He threw a lot of pitches. And then he was able to last 5 innings, but the Yankees just couldn't get any hits. Luke Voit had just come off the IL and looked horrible. And it seemed as if every time Voit came up to the plate, the bases were either loaded or there were at least 2 guys on base. And I think he struck out every time. And he may have popped into foul territory in one of those at-bats, but he looked horrible. He got his timing back maybe 2 or 3 games later, but that day was not fun. Not at all. And it was colder than we thought it was going to be. We had to leave the seats in the, where we were in the upper deck and walk around, and things were blowing all over the place. It was a kind of strange weather day for August, but yeah, that wasn't fun. They lost 2-0 to Seattle. Offense could not get anything going. Again, Luke Voit, just every time. Every time he came up, I was like, oh no. You know, he'd come up with 2 outs. There'd be a guy or 2 on base, or the base is loaded. And I'd think, oh no, he's not going to do anything. And then he didn't. What are you going to do? And who pitched for Seattle? It was, I can't think of his name. The Japanese guy. Kikuchi. The Yankees sometimes do okay against him and sometimes don't. And they were getting hits against him, but then couldn't do more than get a couple hits. You know what I mean? Like, they get a couple hits, get a couple guys on base, and then nothing would happen. So that was a frustrating game. But those were the only 2 games I went to in 2021. I hope to get back to Yankee Stadium in 2022. We'll see. And hopefully I won't see Aroldis Chapman give up a grand slam again. Honestly. And not only that, there were like 3 rain delays that day. That was that really crazy night where it was 93 at start time. Just disgusting. And it kept raining. And I was hoping that they'd cancel or at least postpone and somehow, I don't know, make up the game later in the season. But I think they already had a rain out in that series, right? Because didn't they make up a game against the Angels between the Red Sox and the Braves during the 13-game winning streak, right? So yeah, I guess they couldn't do that. Anyway, I'm thankful that I got to Yankee Stadium. And, you know, I'll be thankful to get back there again in 2022. So I hope you all had a lovely Thanksgiving. And that is it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can watch and subscribe to us on YouTube. We just passed 600 subscribers. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Now you can make your second listen of the day Locked On Bets. Locked On Bets is your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs, and it's hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. So enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Yeah.